Have you ever thought that Jesus is the only person in history who was able to choose where he would be born? And he chose a stable, quite possibly a place where the homeless people of his day might find shelter for the night. And as an adult, Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Our gospel reading tells of the blind beggar and his meeting with Jesus. Mark, in his parallel passage in his gospel, identifies the man as Bartimaeus, meaning son of Timaeus. So here is a beggar. He's a social midfit, a dropout, probably homeless, but he's still somebody's son, the son of Timaeus. And nothing can change that. He isn't simply a man of the road. He didn't come from the street. He came from a mother and a father. And maybe it's something to remember. Perhaps if we see a beggar or a homeless person, perhaps easy to forget that this person is the son or the daughter of parents, somebody who is born into the world like each of us. Born into a family, and what's more, born in the image of God. And because of that, I need to give them respect them as a fellow human being, a fellow creation of God. As we heard in the letter of James, never treat people in different ways according to their appearance. Treat the poor person in his rags the same as you would treat the rich man with his gold ring and fine clothes. And that's exactly what Jesus did, wasn't it? He had respect for everyone, including those whom others would ignore or despise. The leprosy sufferers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the children. Jesus asks Bartimaeus an interesting question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Wasn't it obvious what Bartimaeus needed? We might tend to think so, but Jesus respected him enough not to make decisions on his behalf, as it were, not to assume that he knew exactly what Bartimaeus needed. And sometimes we do that, don't we? With children or maybe with beggars. We feel we know what they need, what they want. But we may be quite wrong in our assumptions. We may assume that what a homeless person needs most of all is food or shelter, but that may not always be the right thing. Maybe their deepest need is simply for companionship, someone who will not walk on the other side of the road, but simply be prepared to listen, someone to speak to, someone with whom to share their story. When Jesus stopped in response to Bartimaeus' cry that day, he was on his way to Jerusalem. Within a matter of hours, he would make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then face the week ahead of him and all the agony that would involve. And we can imagine that there were so many issues pressing on his mind and his heart. Yet in the midst of all of that, he makes time for a lonely beggar. And just after that, indeed, he makes time for Zacchaeus, perched in his sycamore tree. and just again reminds us that everyone is important to the Lord and should be to us also. After hearing Jesus' invitation to come to him, Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and he runs, blind as he is. Running blind, he makes his way to Jesus. The cloak which he discards was probably his most precious possession. It would be his shelter from the elements at night. During the day, he would probably spread it out for people to be able to make their donations to him. And in the evening, he would gather it up a bit like a fisherman would draw up his net for the day's catch. But Bartimaeus forgets about that. He leaves his cloak behind, perhaps because in the end, his ultimate trust is not in material things. We know the first beatitude well, don't we? As blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Luke, in his version of the Beatitudes, says simply, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. From the world's point of view, the poor certainly aren't blessed, are they? But from a spiritual point of view, maybe they have the blessing that they are more likely to look to God, that they don't trust in material, physical things because they have so little anyway. We heard in the letter of James, God chose the poor people of this world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. As we know, when Jesus was born, the angel proclaims to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Those shepherds were some of the poorest of the society of that day. And the message of the angels was probably far more likely to be good news to those shepherds than it would have been to the rich and well-off. And then when Jesus begins his ministry, he quotes the words from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. We as the church are here to continue the ministry of Jesus. We as the church are here to bring good news to the poor, to the homeless. I wonder how we or the wider church is doing in that regard. Apparently, there are something like 320,000 homeless people in the United Kingdom at the moment, and some of them in our communities. Are there things that we can be doing as a church? As you probably know, Lunchbox uses our hall and kitchen on a Wednesday and does a wonderful job providing a meal for between 30 and 40 needy people, as well as food parcels for them to take home with them for themselves or for family members. Might it be possible to work alongside them to provide other services? Maybe a shower where people can have a wash. Maybe a washing machine and a tumble dryer for the homeless to be able to clean their clothes. Maybe a social worker on site to offer advice or counseling. Now, I know that sounds unrealistic. But I think if a church is going to have a significant impact, it will always mean going out on a limb. It will mean moving out of our comfort zones. It will mean taking quite a risk in stepping into unknown territory, as it were. I read these words in a book recently: more than a vision for our church, we need a vision for our community. It's not about being the best church in the town, but rather about being the best church for the town. As we've been reminded, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he entered fully into our human experience. He became one with us in the fullest sense. And he asks us to do something similar in the world, in the community around us. And it's not an easy thing, as I'm sure it wasn't for Jesus, to give up the comfort, as it were, of heaven. But Jesus does assure us that there is a great blessing that accompanies our efforts to reach out to those around us. In that parable of the sheep and the goats, he says, "Inasmuch as you have done these things to the very least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done them for me." In other words, in a very real sense, we meet Jesus, and Jesus meets us in those to whom we reach out. There was no room in the inn for Jesus the first time round. Will there be room for Jesus this time around? Amen.